on if we Bamidbar, Bamidbar Perek Tes, right? So you have the story of the Korban Pesach, right? In the Midbar, in the second year from the time they went out of Mitzrayim. All right. So it says in Pasuk Vav, Vayhi Anashim, they were men that were tamei, you know, tumas meis, and they couldn't do the Pesach on that day. So they came in before Moshe and Aaron on that day, and they said, "We are tamei, tumas meis. Why should we be prevented from bringing the carbon of God in its time amongst the Bnei Israel?" And Moshe said, so they came and they asked Moshe, they said that they were tamei, and therefore they couldn't bring the carbon. In other words, and they wanted to know if there was any Eitzah. They didn't want to be deprived of the opportunity to bring the carbon. Not that they wanted to bring it in a state of Tumah, because you can't bring it in a state of Tumah, but was there any alternative for them? So Moshe said to them, stand and wait, we'll see what God will command you. Then, in Pasuk Tes, you have the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. And God said to Moshe, speak to the Bnei Israel, Ishishki Yatam Lenefesh, if a person was Tumas Meis, or Derech Rechoka, he was far away and he couldn't bring the Karban, then he shall do the Pesach, he shall bring the Pesach on the second month. That is, on Iyar, right? After Nisan is Iyar. On the 14th day, at evening, he should make it. In the Bein Arbaim means in the afternoon. Together with matzos and maror. And then all the halachas that pertain to the first. Lo yashim menu at boker, he can't leave any into the morning, and he can't break the bones of it. According to all the laws of the Pesach, he has to do it. Okay? And then it goes on that the person who fails to bring the carbon Pesach, right, for no good reason, bitl ha-mitzvah, so he's chayev karis. Now, what's the question that emerges from this? What question would you ask on this? In other words, we have a general principle that onus rachmana patre. Onus rachmana patre. That means that if a person could not do a certain mitzvah because of an ones, so then he's pater. We're talking about Pesach Sheni over here. The halach is that if they couldn't bring, those people that couldn't bring the carbon on Nisan, on the 14th of Nisan, so they came to Moshe, and God told Moshe that there's another opportunity to bring the carbon Pesach. They could bring it on the 14th of the next month. And that's called Pesach Sheni. The question that we asked on is, what's the reason? This seems to go against the principles of all the Torah. Because we don't find it by any other mitzvah. That if you have a lulav sheni, or you have any other, Yom Kippur sheni, I mean, Anas Rachmana Patre. Any other mitzvah, if you can't do it for some reason, so then you're pata, and that's the end of that. You know, so why over here was there an exception to that rule, that there's a separate halacha? Yeah, this is not a concept of Tashlumen. Tashlumen is something else. Tashlumen is part of the mitzvah itself, lends itself to Tashlumen. But yeah, by carbon, that's universal. You see?
Yes, so you're also Pesach Sheni is Tashlumen to the
carbon. No, this is not. It's not Tashlumen. Where would you find that's right. Where would you find Tashlumen a month later?
This
I'm sorry.
Is not a Tashlumen.
It's a whole new thing. It's not the Tashlumen. Because Tashlumen, you see, is limited in time. I mean, Tashlumen is, where do you find Tashlumen? Tashlumen has certain rules to it. Right? If it was a case of Tashlumen, so why would Moshe have taught it L'chatchila? Why wouldn't Moshe have taught it L'chatchila? It's subject to Tashlumen. Right? It's not Tashlumen. Clearly it's not Tashlumen. It's an entirely new phenomenon. It's simply that two dates were given. As a result of this, God gave a whole new opportunity to bring it. If you couldn't bring it on the first time, it's a new opportunity, but it's not Tashlumen. I'll tell you something else, it's not Tashlumen. If you're not, right?
Onus
yourself, there's no Tashlumen.
If it was an onus, he wouldn't need Tashlumen.
There's no Tashlumen. He wasn't, he was pata.
Not true.
All right, but anyhow. All right, whatever it is. I mean, whatever it is. All right, how you, whether you would be chayv, it's clearly not a case of Tashlumen. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a new phenomenon, which you don't have anywhere else. Right? That's clearly what you have to say. A separate date was given just on this date. I mean, if it's Tashlumen, so then do it right away. Tashlumen, Tashlumin should be as soon as possible, right? As soon as you tar, bring it. But that's not the case. It's just on this day. Okay. So that's the question that I'd like to try and answer. Now, in order to understand this, we have to understand the whole concept of the Korban Pesach itself. In other words, I think that the answer lies in the nature of the concept of the Korban Pesach. The regular Pesach, yes. Now, if you go back to Parshas Bo, you see that really there were two Korban Pesachs. There was the Pesach of Mitzrayim. There was the Pesach, in other words, because Pesach is interesting. Pesach is a mitzvah which was given before Matan Torah. It's one of the mitzvahs that was given before. Because there was Pesach Mitzrayim. And then the Jews were commanded to be Makar of the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, before Matan Torah. And in Mitzrayim, my friend. That's not the Midbar. In Mitzrayim, the night. That's the first one. That's Pesach Mitzrayim. That's before Matan Torah. And then you have Pesach L'Doros. That once the Torah was given, so Korban Pesach is incorporated. All right. And it's one of the Tariag Mitzvos. But is the Pesach Mitzrayim identical to Pesach L'Doros?
No.
No, you see that there's a number of differences.
The date?
You see that there's a number of differences. Right?
The date
was different. So we're going back to Perek Yud Beis Nan Shemos. Right? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'Yalaram b'Yeretz Mitzrayim Lemor. Chadashim. All right, that's the halach of Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Nisan. You count from Nisan. Then it says, "Dabru al Kaladas Yisrael Lemor, be'esel l'chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this day, v'yikru lahem, they shall take for them ish sela ve'sela sela boyas. Each person should take a sheep for each household." Okay, then it says Miyot Abayis Miyos Miseh, etc. Then it says V'hoi Lachem L'Mishmeres Ad Arbos Yom L'Chodesh Hazeh, and it will be a Mishmeres. What does it mean, Mishmeres? Rashi explains, you shall guard it. Bika, Rashi says. In other words, it has to be checked out from a mum for 4 days before Shechita. Right? Ad Arbos Yom L'Chodesh Hazeh, until the 14th day of the month. Then v'shechtu also, they shechted it on the 14th. Kol kal d'Israel bein harbayim. Same date, the 14th. We shecht on the 14th. Okay. Then you have a lachun adam. They take from the blood v'nas noshtei mezuzah v'lamashkov, and they put it on the mezuzah habayis, on the houses that they'll eat it therein. Then it says v'yachlos abasar v'layla zeh. They'll eat the meat that night. Sliyei shumatzos al marom yachluhu. Okay, roasted on fire together with matzah and marah. Al toch v'menu noah. You cannot eat it raw, or vashem avushal b'mayim, or cook. Kiyim tliyesh, only roasted. Rosho al karav yal kirbo.
He's talking about both.
One second. You'll soon see. There are certain things. Rosho al karav means it has to be roasted the whole. You can't cut it up into parts to roast it. It has to be roasted whole. Now, one second. Velos asir menorat boki. You can't leave anything over to the morning. Vanos menorat boki beresh tisrofa. Whatever is left over to the morning has to be burnt. Now, v'kocha tochlu oso, and thus shall you eat it. Masnechem hagurim, your loins have to be girded, like a gartle or a belt. Now, lechem raglechem, your shoes on your feet. Umakelchem v'yetchem, and your staff in your hand. V'achaltem oso v'chipazel, and you have to eat it quickly. Pesach ul Hashem, it's a Pesach to God. Then it says, v'yavarti b'yaret Yisrayim, v'alala zeh, v'ikeis kol b'chor b'yaret Yisrayim. Okay? And so on and so forth. And the dam will be for an os. Right? Okay. So the thing is like this. There seems to be two different types of commandments over here. One is, as we see in Ches, V'yachlos abas b'l'sudei shematzai salmurom yochluho, and Tes al toch l'menuna, right? That's one set of commandments. And then you have Yud Aleph, V'kach al toch l'oso. Now the Ramban says, al toch l'menuna, he says, zu mitzvah l'doros. Right? The prohibition about eating it raw is a mitzvah doros. Shekol ha-mitzvos b'chan b'gufa Pesach, all mitzvos over here which pertain to the gufa Pesach, mitzvah doros, is a mitzvah doros. Aval ha-mitzvah b'ochlim, but the commandments pertaining to the eaters, to the people who eat it, kagon, masnechem chagurim, v'adam al ha-mashkov, einenu rak b'Pesach Mitzrayim. that's only pertaining to Pesach Mitzrayim. V'chein amar kasev v'Pesach Sheni. And this is what the Pesach says in Pesach Sheni. Al matzah zemrom yachlu. V'lo yashir menu ad boker. V'yetzim lo yishbru bo. Chalchukas v'Pesach yasvo so. Shein sliyesh lo na v'lo mevushol. So what's the Ramban saying? In fact, the Ramban is saying that the laws can be broken down into two categories. Right? Basically, in other words, what does he mean by Gufa Pesach? In other words, the Chefza. There are two sets of laws. There are laws that pertain to the Chefza, Shel Pesach, right? And then there are laws that pertain to the Gavra, Shel Ochel, right? Or how he is to do the Maisa Achila, right? Maisa Achila, right? Derech Achila, whatever. What do you like, Derech Achila? To Mitzrayim. What are the things? You know, there's the things that pertain to Mitzrayim are the Dama Lamashkov, right? Okay. And also, that he has to eat it in a certain way. That is, that he's girded, right? The Chipazon, and Aleichem Raglechem, Makachem. Rashi says, all these things, what's the purpose of all these things? To show Muzumanim Laderach. I think it's the, take a look at Rashi. Muzumanim Laderach. Right? That they have to eat it in a way that they are prepared for the derech. Okay? So of course the question is, I mean, what's the reason for this? Why they have these special things in Mitzrayim? That they have to be, well, it's obviously more than just a practical thing. You know what I mean? That they have to be prepared to leave. I mean, we know that they were going to leave and they had to be prepared, but you see it's incorporated into the whole Achila. So it's part of the Pesach of Mitzrayim. Okay. There's also one other difference. In other words, there are two categories of difference between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach L'Doros. One we just mentioned in the nature of how you do the eating. Right? Dam al Mashkev also, right? Dam al Mashkev is not really how you do the eating. How you want to categorize it, you know, we'll see. But you have Dam al Mashkev and also the fact that it has to be eaten quickly. With all those ready for the derech. Ready to leave. Ready to travel. Yes?
I don't know if it's important. Pesach L'Doros?
Pesach L'Doros is not. Pesach L'Doros, you eat it, you don't have to be Mizuman L'Derech. You eat it normally. Without, you don't have to have Dam L'Mashkov, you don't have to have the Mizuman L'Derech at all. You know, your shoes on your feet, you don't have to have the belt, you don't have to have the staff.
You don't have to lean or anything.
Leaning is something else. Leaning, it doesn't mention leaning over here. Leaning, come on, that's Cheres.
Stationary.
Points out. That there's another mitzvah that was only in Mitzrayim, and that's Kicha Ba'asar. To take it on the 10th day. That's a separate mitzvah. Rashi has a whole thing about that. We don't do it. Now, that's the whole idea, the significance of Shabbos HaGadol. The idea of Shabbos HaGadol, because in Mitzrayim it turned out that happened down on Shabbos. See, in Mitzrayim it turned out that the 10th day of the month was a Shabbos. And that's the day on which they took the seah. And there was a great ness, because the seah was the idol that the Mitzrayim worshipped. So here, the Jews were doing something which was a affront to them, was taking their god and tying it up for a sacrifice, and nothing happened. And they couldn't do anything about it. Nothing happened to the Jews. So that was a big ness. That's why we call it Shabbos. That's the whole thing of Shabbos HaGadol. Question is, though, why we don't have this mitzvah, though, in L'Doros, that on the 10th day of the month, you have to separate it. You have to put it aside. There's no mitzvah like that. It's only in Pesach Mitzrayim. So Rashi talks about this. Take a look at Rashi and Vav. V'hoi lechem l'mishmeres. Zeh lashon biker. It's a mishmeres is a lashon of biker. Biker means to check it. Like biker cholim, to check. You know, to visit. Sheton biker mi mum, it requires visitation for mum. Dalad yamim kodem shchita. 4 days prior to shchita. Umipne ma hiktim lekichaso l'shchitaso dalad yamim. And why did God command us to take it 4 days before the shchita? Ma shelo tziva came in Pesach Doros. That which God didn't command in Pesach Doros. In other words, you don't have this later on. Hay Rav Masya ben Cheresh Omer. Rav Masya ben Cheresh would say, Harei Omer, it says, Ve'ever alayach, ve'erech, it says in Yecheskel, that I passed over you, and I saw you, v'hine a'itcha eistudim. And behold, it was a time of love. higi yashvua shenishbati l'Avraham she egoel esbonav. It had arrived, the shvua that I had sworn to Avraham that I would redeem his children. V'lo hayu biyadam mitzvos l'sasek behem, and there was no mitzvos in their hands that they could be involved in kedei shiyigalu, in order that they should be redeemed. Shenem of at eron v'erya, it says that you were naked, naked from mitzvos. V'naslem shtei mitzvos, and he gave them two mitzvos, dam pesach v'dam milah, the dam of pesach and the dam of milah. Shemalu bi'osav alayla, that they were they had milah on that night.
14.
No.
10.
That would be no. That was on the would be the 14th. The 14th. The two dam. Right. No, but I mean the general idea. The reason why God gave him the mitzvah of kicha, right, was part of the same general idea. It really ties in with the idea why they were given mitzvahs in Mitzrayim, because the time for their geula had arrived, and they were naked of mitzvahs. They didn't have any mitzvahs. Yes, yeah, so what? It's true. And it says, "V'yomer gam at bedam bruscha shalachti asirecha miborei mayimbo." You see, so it says, "Also, you in the dam of your bris, have I sent out your prisoners from a pit in which there is no water?" So that explains Mila. V'shehayu shtufim be'elilim, and also they were immersed in elilim, spirits.
Idolatry,
right? Amar lehem. So he said to them, God said to them, Mishchu k'chulachem. Mishchu yedeichem me'elilim. Pull your hands away from the idols. U'k'chulachem tzon shel mitzvah. And take your tzon shel mitzvah. So the question is, what does this all mean? In other words, Rashi's trying to explain why they had the mitzvah of kicha. And because kicha was a mitzvah. Kicha was a mitzvah which they don't have ledoros.
Kicha is taking it
on the 10th. And it's not just taking it, though, but there's a whole mitzvah that they have to check it. It's not just taking it and setting it aside, but then once you take it and set it aside, they have to keep checking it for a month. So that's a mitzvah. So Rashi is saying that this fits in with the general idea why they were given mitzvahs. They were given the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and they were given the mitzvah of Dan Mila, because it said that God saw that the time for their redemption had come, and they were naked of mitzvahs, right? They didn't have any mitzvahs in their hands in order that they should be redeemed, so God had to give them mitzvahs.
The time for redemption came.
Yeah, so it's... So that's the question, right? I mean, if the time for redemption had come, so they're supposed to be redeemed. So why do they have to have mitzvahs? In other words, that's what the purpose of redemption is. They're going to be redeemed, so they'll get the Torah, they'll have mitzvahs. That seems to be circular, right? The purpose of redeeming them was to give them mitzvahs. Here it says no, but you can't be redeemed unless you have mitzvahs. Well, what's the point? It doesn't mean to say that they were redeemed because of the schus, because of the merit of the mitzvahs. That doesn't seem to make any sense. They're redeemed because it's part of God's plan. So he doesn't go back to
but it was given to them. They're like agree with him.
I'm sorry, what?
Now she's saying that before the actual time of the redemption, it couldn't just be immediate, but there was a 4-day process where they already started. That's the end of Rashi there.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
He says Mashki Yadechem Elilim V'Kchulachem Tzon Shel Mitzvah. I think he's
right.
Trying to explain that there was a, since they were so immersed in it, there at least there was a 4-day.
Yeah. That's right. There was a process. There had to be a process. That makes sense. Right. All right. Well, let's see if we can understand the general idea over here. What's the general idea? All right, they have to be at a certain level. You know, what are we talking about? You know, I mean, the general question really is that what do they need these mitzvahs for? And why these particular mitzvahs? God promised that they're going to go through the enslavement, they're going to be redeemed. And he's going to make a name, give them the Torah, the whole Torah, and the Torah will perfect them. I mean, now it seems to be reversing it, that they had to have mitzvahs. Without mitzvahs, they didn't merit the redemption. Well, in what sense didn't they merit the redemption? Well, what do you mean? If you just do a mitzvah, you merit the redemption? You know what I mean? And what was this idea of meriting? What's this idea that these two mitzvahs will somehow make them merit the redemption? You get it?
Why these two?
See, who wants to? Yitzias Mitzrayim was not the end in itself.
And you see that it is the end. The Geula really
is not just physical freedom. There's no question about that. And first of all, you see also that that Yitzias Mitzrayim is really associated with Shavuos, which is Matan Torah. Because the kiyum of Yitzias Mitzrayim is really Matan Torah. Because you see that the Torah doesn't have a separate date for Shavuos. But Shavuos is Kavua on the basis of what? On Yitzias Mitzrayim. You count the 7 weeks and then you have Shavuos, right? And that's Anochi Hashem Lokecha, that's when they receive the Torah. Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Asher Atzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Who took you out of Mitzrayim. So the kiyum of Yitzias Mitzrayim is really in Matan Torah. Okay? Now, what is the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim? The idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not, it's the establishment of a nation, right? Now, God had revealed his plan to Avram, that Avram would be the founder of an Am. And in order to have an Am, you have to have them go through certain experiences and the slavery and so on and so forth, right? But this was, Yitzias Mitzrayim was the final factor in the establishment of the nation. And that final factor was not just the obtainment of physical freedom. Rather, it means the obtainment of spiritual freedom. All right. Now, what's the idea of spiritual freedom, according to the Torah? In the capacity of Bechir, what had to take place? What was lacking over here? You see, Rashi says, "Mishchu yudeichem me'alilim."
Their involvement in.
You see, yeah. See, Avram. The whole thing goes back to Avram Avinu. You know the story of Avram, right? That the entire world in his time was steeped in a certain emotion, in the primitive emotions, right? And that's why they worshipped Avodah Zarah, right? Because Avodah Zarah really is the, you know the whole thing over there, how it works, right? It's really an expression of the primitive personality. That the person can't relate to God through the intellect. That it's the God of the heaven and earth, right? But rather, it's a different type of a thing. It's relating to the God of the psyche. In other words, he projects onto nature certain forces, right? And it's purely the God, it's the psychological relationship to God, right? Now, Avraham Avinu came along, right? And he broke free of that. In other words, he discovered that the entire reason why people were worshipping idols and so on and so forth was because of that factor, that desire for the security, right? Which stemmed from the primitive part of the mind.
Just repeat that. What about Avodah Zarah?
I've gone over this a number of times. In other words, Avodah Zarah stems from the primitive part of the mind. That a person is seeking a certain type of security, so he wants a certain relationship with a father figure. So he projects this figure onto a reality, and he establishes a relationship with it. And in order to do so, and the purpose of the relationship is in order for him to obtain psychological security. That's the whole mechanism of the Avodah Zarah personality. The person is steeped in the primitive emotions. Now, Avraham Avinu broke away from that, and he established a whole new idea that to relate to the object of God, that there is a God out there who's the source of reality. And man has to relate to him as the God of heaven and earth. You see? But not the God of the psyche. And not for the purpose of obtaining any type of security. But rather because this is the best experience for man. That's the purpose of man. That's human fulfillment. That man should know this being and relate to this being. Well, who is this being? The being, the God, the creator of heaven and earth. Elokei Shamayim V'aretz. See, now the thing is that this was the objective. The objective of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to obtain, the real Geula was to obtain spiritual freedom. But what is spiritual freedom? Spiritual freedom really means to be free from the primitive emotions. Because Mitzrayim was a society which was steeped in the primitive emotions. That's the nature of Mitzrayim. You see, in fact, the entire Torah really is to uproot. Really, to uproot all of the primitive emotions of Mitzrayim. They were involved in, what are the primitive emotions? Involved in idolatry, in magic, and in this primitive idea of immortality. You know, the whole mummification system. So you see, there was, what's that?
Directly related.
Right. So you see that in Mitzrayim, they were subjected to the primitive. Now, you'd see as Mitzrayim, you couldn't have. See, you could not have Yitzias Mitzrayim unless they separated themselves from the primitive emotions of Mitzrayim.
Yeah, but that came after the fact of being
there? That had to begin in Mitzrayim itself. They had to begin the process of separation. See, the final fulfillment, the final kiyum, was in Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You see? But in order, you see, in order to, everybody relates to God. I mean, the primitive person also has a concept of God. in order to relate to God properly, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, right? They first had to take themselves out of the framework of the primitive emotions. Mitzrayim, you have that. Just leaving Mitzrayim physically is not Geula. They had to leave, they had to break away, because that's the place where they were steeped in the primitive emotions, you see? So that they had to do right then and there. That's Geula. Otherwise there's no Geula. Unless they do an action which causes them to separate themselves from the primitive emotions of Mitzrayim. Yeah, go ahead. Correction apparently in Mitzrayim, but they had to break away.
See, it took time.
Yeah, there's two steps over here. You see? There's two steps. There's the first step in which you break away from the primitive. You see? That's one step. Now, once you've broken away from the primitive, then you've got to immerse yourself in Talmud Torah and you raise yourself to a higher level. But I mean, the whole thing is it's a lifelong process. You see? But the essential idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim had to include the element of breaking away from the primitive. Now, how do you break away from the primitive? You see? How do you break away from the primitive? The idea of the mitzvah. What's the whole idea of the mitzvah? You see? Is that the reason why the Torah is different than other systems, than philosophical systems, is that, see, most philosophical systems only appeal to a person who's on the rational level. But they don't appeal to a person on the emotional level. And that's why they don't really have any chance of surviving for a very long time. But the greatness of the Torah system is that it takes a person with his emotion, and via the emotion it attaches him to a system of chachma. So he leaves the emotion behind and he gets involved in a whole new system of chachma, and that's a whole new way of relating to God. That's really the idea of the Torah. That the Torah did not tell a person to just abandon all of his emotions, because that would be impossible. These primitive emotions are extremely powerful. So instead of abandoning them, right? And by the way, you see also I mentioned by Avraham, that after Avraham discovered these ideas, it says he went around and he debated with them, right? And he broke the Tzlamim and everything, and he showed them that these ideas are totally ridiculous and erroneous, and they won't help you in any way. Whatever you think you're going to get benefit by them, it won't help you in any way, right? And then he said to them, he taught them about the true God, the God of heaven and earth. And he said that to him alone is it fitting to bow down and to bring sacrifices and so on and so forth. So you see that he retained. So why did Avram retain the idea of sacrifice? Why didn't he tell him that to give up sacrificing and not to even, you don't even have to bow down, just to relate to this God through knowledge, to recognize the Creator? We have to bring sacrifices. You see? Because Avraham realized that it's a powerful need in man. The need to sacrifice and to bow down to the Creator was a very powerful need in man. You see? So he didn't ask them to give up those emotions. But rather, what he wanted them to do was to direct, to take those emotions and to direct it to something which is real, to something which is true. You got it. I mean, you see, the Torah endorses that idea. Your only question is, where do you get the right to say that? I mean, that's... It's not a problem right now. But you see, the Torah endorses that idea.
The Torah does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know, but your question then is out of context. I can't get into that now.
Okay.
So what's the pshat over here then? So what's the pshat? Yeah. As far as Pesach... You see, like this. What's the idea of the Pesach Mitzrayim? Pesach Mitzrayim meant that God saw that they were shtufim belilim. That they had become affected by the society. And they were involved in these same primitive emotions. So therefore, they had to uproot themselves from the whole primitive form of worship. Otherwise, you can't go any further. There's no Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, it had to be done through what? Through mitzvahs. That's the idea of kicha. You see? That by the time, that like Gertie said before, very good, that there were 4 days from the time they took it, they began, in other words, their whole approach to the Karban Pesach had to be an approach that this is a different kind of a Karban. That this is a halachic experience. It's a mitzvah. You see, that's why it has a beaker, and you have to set it aside, and you have to tell me mum. You see, mum, what does mum show you? All these things show you that it's not the physical thing itself. You see? But rather it's purely a halachic thing. It has to be checked for a mum, and if it has, even though it's the same physical thing, if it has one slight defect, it becomes puzzle. You see? They became involved in a whole system of mitzvahs over here. And, you see? Now, what are the... In fact, what's the whole idea? The whole idea of this carbon, the whole idea of the carbon was really a demonstration, right? That they, to uproot the whole idea of the primitive approach. Because the Ramban says, why was it a seh? Why was it a seh? Because that was the God of the Egyptians. You see? So therefore, that's why, in fact, that's why they had to put the Dam al HaMashkof. You see? Because that was a demonstration that what? That the Mitzrayim held that this act was the most abhorrent thing. That this is the act which would bring destruction to a person. Because the primitive Avodah Zarah, Ovid Avodah Zarah, what does he do? Everything that he does, he's doing because he feels these things will save you. And the other actions will destroy you. That's his whole framework. What's going to save you? What's going to destroy you? So therefore, God told them to do an action, right, which the Egyptians say will destroy you. And then it turned out that whoever did this action, whoever put the Dam ala Mashkov, that's the action that would save you. That's the action that would save you. And whoever failed to do that, in other words, whoever failed to kill the sheep, whoever was afraid of the sheep, right, and held that the sheep was divine, and he didn't put the blood on the Mashkov, that was the action that would destroy you. In other words, God commanded them to do the exact opposite of the system of the Mitzrayim.
Isn't that kind of harsh?
At the time of the plagues, that whole year with the plagues, I mean, all this time was preparatory. Moshe came to them. I mean, there's a whole process going on. But this was the time when you had to make a decision. Moshe came to them and he said, the God of your fathers, the God of heaven. And he taught them. He taught them the concept. Then they saw the plagues, right? And all these things, I mean, they saw. Well, they had a good opportunity to see what the reality was.
Yeah,
but this was the final thing.
No.
You got it.
Yeah, but you see that even these...
two aspects of the Gula. There was the physical, and then there was the spiritual. The spiritual aspect of the Gula meant that they had to separate themselves from the primitive emotions, the primitive system of Mitzrayim. And how do you do that? By attachment to the halachic system. You see, to the system of mitzvahs, directing to take those same emotions, which previously had been the cause, which you directed towards the Avodah Zarah, and to now direct it towards a whole new way of relating to God, through a system of mitzvahs. Now, what's the idea of the two damim? The dam bris and the dam pesach and the dam milah, those two mitzvahs?
Yeah.
What about the blood?
No, the dam
was
a bris.
So you're mispossessed with the mayach, with your two bloods. Now, what do these two, why these two bloods, Mila and Karbon? So, like Marshall is saying, that, see, what does the Ramban speaks about Mila, the philosophy of Mila? And he says that, it says in Yemos HaMashiach, it says, what is there over there?
Malti Psa'ala.
Hashem Lokech Zavach Chavez Lav Zerecha. Umal Yesh. Umal, it's a reference to Yemos HaMashiach, I believe, according to the Ramban. Right?
Yeah.
So he says that in the time of the Mashiach, there will be the Mila of the Lev. What does it mean, Mila of the Lev? It means that the nature of man will return to the way it was in the time of Adam. Because it won't be like you have today, that man has a desire and it's opposite. You know, there's a man's in a state of conflict. On the one hand, he wants to do, he has a desire for certain tithes, and on the other hand, he knows that they're wrong. See, meaning to say that in the time of Adam HaRishon, all of his energy, all of his natural desires was to do the good. So therefore, he didn't have any conflicts. You see? But now, as a result of the chait, when there was a basic change in the nature of the energy, that now the energy flows towards the tithes. So now... in other words, that just what the Ramban says, that Mila, he says the Arla, the covering of the foreskin, really is symbolic. It represents the Titus. The foreskin represents the Titus. Because it's a covering. And in the same way that the Titus, the passions, form a barrier, a machita, between man and God. Because they distort a person's vision. They distort his reason. And they prevent him from obtaining true and clear ideas. He says that the mitzvah of Mila is symbolic of freeing yourself from the sway of the passions. That's the philosophy of Mila. You see, it has a symbolic significance to it. In that, that's why you see the Torah speaks about Mila Salev. It is not just the physical Mila, but the Mila Salev. What's the Mila Salev? It's the perfection of the heart. What's the perfection of the heart? It's expressed in the way man is going to be in the time of the Mashiach. That is, that he will not be governed by these passions, but rather all of his natural energy will be to do the good. You see? So therefore the two Damim represent a certain concept. That is, that it's the freeing of the freeing of the person from the primitive. Because the person can be attached to the primitive in two different ways. One is through the passions, through the tithes, through the id. Right? Now there's another side to that coin. What's the other side? You know, there's two aspects towards the primitive personality. You take a look at the primitive tribes,
The primitive tribes, on the one hand, are totally steeped in the primitive taiva, in the taiva system. They can't break away from the infantile taiva system. You see? The passions. The other side of the coin is there's another taiva. You see, there's two kinds of taiva. One taiva is simply the taiva of the id, the passions. The other taiva is the taiva for avodah zarah. In other words, the whole worship system of avodah zarah is the worship system of the primitive personality. In other words, any person who's steeped in the primitive emotions will naturally, because that whole way of life. You see, he's purely involved in the subjective, purely involved in the taivas. So that way of life always leads to the projection of the avodah zarah onto reality.
Really,
the two things are related to each other. Okay.
Really,
what's that? It's the religion of the instinctual person. It takes two forms.
That's good.
Avodah zarah is the religion of instinctual man. Instinctually, in other words, it's not a avodah zarah is a natural phenomenon. It's an instinctual. You see, primitive man was very religious. Primitive man was naturally religion is a natural instinctual process. If the emotions go their natural course, you see, and there's no process of freeing yourself, it eventuates in avodah zarah. You see, that's why they had to free themselves in Mitzrayim. You see, because in other words, that's the precondition. The precondition for Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, which is true knowledge of God, is, that's why it says, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that you can't relate to me, I'm a different concept of God. Anochi Hashem Lokecha, it's a whole new concept of God. It's not the God that the primitive person relates to, right? But in order to relate to me, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, you have to be removed and freed from Eretz Mitzrayim. Because as long as you're under the sway of the primitive, then there's no way that you can have an accurate relationship to God. That's why they were given these two mitzvos in Mitzrayim. You see? And that explains the idea of kicha. Right? Because kicha means that they had to relate to the karban. You see, that it couldn't be the karban of... that's what it's b'chol arel. An arel, right, could not eat of the karban Pesach. Because an arel is one who was steeped in the primitive. So for him, the karban Pesach is like a sacrifice, like a regular sacrifice. It's not a halachic experience. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. The thing that I'm saying now? Alright. A question? Spencer? With two different sides of one coin. That is, they represent the person freeing himself from the sway of the primitive emotions. As I explained to you, that Mila means overcoming the primitive taiva, the passions. See, a person recognizes that he has another side to him, he has a rational side, and he can't be governed by the sway of the emotions. He has to overcome the emotions. Because the emotions, the passions, represent the barrier between him and God, his perception of God.
So the connection
of... Well, that's the philosophy of Mila. I'm trying to explain the philosophy according to the Ramban. And the other aspect of the primitive personality is the avodah zarah. That's an instinctual phenomenon. Avodah zarah is an instinctual phenomenon. You get it? Of the way in which you're supposed to eat it, the derech achila, that it had to be masnechem fagurim, right? All these things, bichipazayin, right? All these things, Rashi says, is basically what mezuman moderech, right? So I am Marshall saying it. In other words, they had the whole idea of the Karban Pesach was what? That's the idea is to separate yourself from Israel. So therefore, they had to demonstrate that they were separate from Mitzrayim. Because, in other words, like this, all these things represent, it's like a person is physically may still be part. You see, the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the idea that they are spiritually separate. So a person can be physically in one place, but mentally is in a totally different place. In other words, a guy had to do it in such a way, right, that he's really on the road already. He's really on the road. He's eating it. In other words,
as quickly as the stick
is in his hand, the staff is in his hand. He's not part of this place anymore. That's the. In other words, he had to demonstrate a complete separation from Mitzrayim while he ate the Karban Pesach.
Couldn't do see? It
yeah. Well, it had to be done in Mitzrayim. In other words, that was before the Geula. You see, but it had to be done in such a way where you clearly had broken your entire identification with Mitzrayim. You see, I had an expression for this one. It's like a person is physically in one place, right? But really, in reality, he's on the way already. He's on the road. That's it. He's not here anymore. He's left. He's left. This is the it's just for the last, you know, physically to cross the boundary. But the God has broken off his entire association with Mitzrayim. See? Yeah.
I would also say that it was important.
It was only in Pesach Mitzrayim, because of course the once they were given the Torah, right, and it was part of the mitzvos. So of course, I mean, the idea, these ideas, right, of breaking the primitive are contained within the nature of the mitzvah. But the physical separation was only in Mitzrayim, because there you had the physical situation. See, in Mitzrayim you had the physical situation, they were surrounded by a culture which was primitive. So therefore they had to demonstrate that they're not part of that culture. And this is totally different. But once they had these things didn't apply anymore. You follow? In other words, since all of these things were a demonstration, which only made sense when they were surrounded by a primitive culture, once they were given the Torah and they had their own society, so it's not applicable anymore.
So then what's the purpose?
It becomes one of Tariag Mitzvahs. I mean, the Korban Pesach is a mitzvah.
Yeah,
and
you
have to...
You still have the...
you still have the... of course, that's true.
So
I mean, the...
breaks away from the
mitzvah by its nature contains these ideas. But these superadded things were only necessary in Mitzrayim when they were physically coming from a culture. You see, from a culture which represents the primitive, and they had to do a physical act of separating from the primitive. And that's why they had to have these things. But once they were out of that society, in their own society, then they just had the inherent things of the mitzvah. That's what the Rambam says, the guf, things that pertain to the guf of mitzvah. Those are those things which are part of the inherent character of the mitzvah. What about the idea of Pesach Sheni? Will this help us with Pesach Sheni?
No. Rashi says, by Rishis Adama, kol goel lefanav, isn't everything revealed before God? But rather, God says, I'll give him my eyes to see whether the Osek is
Osek
in the mitzvah. Rashi is immediately questioning here that it's not the blood on the mashkof
that's right.
That's the protection, but it's the
Kiyama
mitzvah. It's the Osek the mitzvah.
Yeah, still,
and this is borne out later, you see, this is borne out later by the next Rashi, V'aliyah Bechem Negev. He says, but if there was a mitzri in the house of Yisrael,
you
might think you get saved. And may you might think of Yisrael was in the bais of a mitzri that he would get killed. So it says, so that factor demonstrated clearly that it was only the mitzvah, it wasn't the blood, because it was the blood, it wouldn't distinguish.
In other words, for sure. No. In other words, what Rashi is saying is, this confirms what we're saying, that the whole essence... You see, the whole essence of the experience was the fact they were Osek B'mitzvah. And that's why they were saved, because they were Osek B'mitzvah. I mean, because Osek B'mitzvah means to break away from the primitive system and to be involved in a whole new type of religious system, a whole new religious experience, which relates to God through Chachma. And that's what saved them. You see, that's why, Gertie's saying extra, that it worked out that it was not the physical blood, that there could be no way of saying it was the physical blood that saved you. Because, if a Jew was in the house of a Mitzri, the Jew was saved. If a Mitzri was in the house of a Jew, right, he was killed. So it wasn't the fact that the blood protected the house. That's the way a primitive person would look at it, that there's certain power in the blood. But rather, it was all done in a way to show that what saved the person was the fact that he separated himself from these primitive practices, the exact opposite of what everybody was doing. Yeah. Here, Aldrin, you want to answer Pesach Sheni? All right, yeah, I'm going to try. I mean, I'm going to try and suggest a... what's the matter?
We want 100% answer.
It's an element of perfection. Because everybody, by nature, partakes of these emotions, of the primitive emotions. And, of course, it's inevitable that this is going to affect our whole relationship to God. You see? So the thing is like this, that I would say like this, that there's two factors over here in the Korban Pesach. One, of course, is the factor that's, the 14th of Nisan, right? But we said that there's a relationship between Pesach and Shavuos. In other words, Pesach initiates a process which culminates in Shavuos, which is Matan Torah. You see? Now, the way we're looking at it, the Korban Pesach, which means the freeing ourselves from the primitive, is an essential precondition for Matan Torah, for Anochi Hashem Elokecha. See? So that's why that process culminates on the on the 49th day, after 7 weeks. So that's why, in other words, they were saying that there's still time. In other words, it's true we missed it on the designated time, that's the best time, right? But since it begins, since it initiates a process which culminates 7 weeks from now,
it's not over
right?
yet after a month.
And it's not over yet, right? So we still, in other words, maybe we still have an opportunity to involve ourselves in this thing, the freeing ourselves from the primitive, in order to get the fuller kiyum of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Well, Mila is always, yeah, Mila, you can't, V'chol Ari
Le'yochol Bo. This is the thing with the making up.
Because Mila was that. Mila is not dependent on time. Excuse me. Mila is no question. You know. Mila is not dependent upon time. Mila is Allah of Aria. So when a guy's in early, there's a chiv, it's an inherent chiv. There's no riot from Mila.
No, I'm just curious.
That's another word. Yeah, in the philosophical sense. I mean, halachically, no, yeah, that was their question. Their question was halachically, the time is over, right? But since it has, since this philosophically, right? It's related. It's related to a certain process which is still in effect, right? So maybe we could still do it. That's the, you know, that was the question. In other words, it's still applicable. It's still relevant. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's not just relevant to the time of Pesach, where a shofar is only relevant to the time of Rosh Hashanah. Once Rosh Hashanah is passed, what are you going to bring it for? You see? Right? But since philosophically it's still relevant, right? Because you know, Pesach is related to Shavuos, right? And Shavuos is really the completion. So perhaps, in other words, God will allow us to do it. In other words, the concept is relevant, but they couldn't be kovei la halacha. You know what I mean? Just because the concept was relevant, right? They couldn't get that to ask Moshe. Moshe asked God. And God said yes. What I mean to say is that it's different than other mitzvos. Because it's not just them to do a mitzvah. But rather here it's a certain type of, well, all mitzvahs have perfection. But here it's a certain type of perfection which is related to Shavuos. Shavuos Yav Anochi Hashem Elokecha is related to Matan Torah. So that that's why an exception was made.
Uh-huh. Again. Now, is this just...
They all brought the Pesach that night. Otherwise, you know, that's it.
Who was on
right. But Pesach Sheni is Philodoros.